You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From the crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
From the friendly neighbourhood record store, here's Troy.
Hi,
Troy.
Hello.
Good morning.
Dale the Funky Homo Sapiens and Gorillas quite often, isn't he, these days?
See, everyone's in. It's like a dumping ground, Gorillas, isn't it?
Kill Bobby Womack.
Can I say something about Mr. Dobolina, Mr. Bob Dobolina?
Robert Dobolina.
Do you know what that's from? That's a sample from The Monkees. It was a spoken piece by Peter Tork on a Monkees record.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I tell you what, are a wealth of information, Troy.
None of it very useful.
No, so I've locked that one in. I'm going to keep that one.
Okay.
I'm going to say, hey, you know, Mr. Bob Dobolina. They're going to go to me. They're going to do this face. They're going to go, oh, really? Okay. Anyway, so luckily you're amongst musical friends, Troy. Hey, so from the crate today, Southbound Records, what have you got for us? You've got three very delicious and tempting little platters there, my friend. Is this the new Ariel Pink album you've got there?
Brand new Ariel Pink album. It's out worldwide tomorrow.
What's your favourite Ariel Pink song? Actually, I really only know two of them that well, so I want to see if one of them is your favourite.
I'm not sure if I have a favourite, really.
I really like that song, Velvet.
Velvet's okay, yeah. I really liked his cover of Baby. I thought it was
amazing. Is he a he? I thought it was a they.
Well, his name...
Mr. Pink?
His name is Ariel Rosenberg, which, of course, Rosen, right. Pink, Ariel Pink. He used to be...
Iceberg, Berg.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Jesus, I just realised what you said. Anyway, he used to be...
Pink Iceberg.
Ariel Pink's Haunted Graffiti, and I think that was just him. And then he dropped the Haunted Graffiti and Ariel Pink...
It's probably for the best.
I would say so.
The idea of ghosts involved in graffiti is terrifying.
Oh, just awful. Worn Copy was one of their really good records. Oh, anyway, this one here is apparently his 11th album. It's entitled Dedicated to Bobby Jameson. And straight off, you're going to go...
But you don't kind of that. Of course, you know what my next question is.
Yeah.
Is that him in the back there?
That's Ariel Pink. Yep.
With a pitchfork by a grave.
Yeah. And no pink hair anymore. No ladies' high heel shoes. What does he look like?
You can't tell
days?
That from there.
Well, I saw the whole picture. He's not wearing ladies' shoes.
Oh, well. Well, was the album good, though? I mean, that's sort of a selling point for me in the early years, but yep.
Yeah, no, the album is actually really good. And
it says here it's a shimmering pop odyssey that represents more astonishing peaks and menacing valleys in the career of a man who, through sheer originality and nerve, has become an American rock and roll institution.
Yeah, and that's not talking about Ariel Pink. That's talking about Bobby Jameson. right? you get that?
Sort of, yeah.
Bobby Jameson was a guy whose career started in the early 1960s, and he was... Like many people, he was beset by rip-offs and failures and almosts and alsos, and completely retired in 1985, disappeared, and then in the mid-2000s started this blog. Really well-written...
As people do.
This is a really, really well-written history of everything that happened to him. And I can't remember if I knew about Bobby Jameson before I read this stuff, but it's mind-blowingly good. Is writing and just slamming every aspect of the music industry that dicked him over the years. Really, totally.
Is it a matter of let's all cry for Bobby Jameson?
No, I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. The way that
it's all right. I mean, you've obviously read a couple of them, and it sounds like you've been taken by it.
Yeah,
maybe this is his destiny.
Possibly
to write a blog that's talked about many years later on student radio in New Zealand. Talking about someone who's dedicated an album to him, who's standing by his grave with a pitchfork.
That's right. That's almost meta, isn't it?
Yeah. That is.
Bobby Jameson, he died 2 years ago. After his mother and his brother had died, he'd moved back with them. And they feature quite a lot in his blog. But basically, he wrote from about 2006 or 2007 right up to just before he died. So, like, solid. Like it's the size of a very large book.
Wow, just reflecting on his life.
Yeah, and so Ariel Pink, is this dedicated to Bobby Jameson, is kind of a loose concept album representing the whole of Bobby Jameson from the early 1960s stuff. He even ended up in England, almost as famous as the Rolling Stones, but ripped off disaster. But this album is cool.
He got dealt a few rough cards, did he?
He got dealt nothing but rough cards. It's like it's one of those cautionary tales that are simplified and dumbed down, and you'd see on a behind the music type thing. But his
VH1 Behind the Music, Bobby Jamison, a great exercise, and don't get your hopes up.
But this Ariel Pink record is really cool. What does it sound like? It sounds like Ariel Pink records, and the stuff that shorthand people go, oh, that's lo-fi. Well, it's not specifically lo-fi. It sounds muffled, perhaps.
Tell you what, if there's any radio station in New Zealand that's got its head around lo-fi, it's this one.
You're probably right.
And so shall we have a listen?
Do it.
I'm not going to play the song called Santa in the Closet, because, I mean, if Santa's in the closet, that's Santa's decision. Until it would make sense, though, wouldn't it?
I guess.
Ho, ho, ho. Yep, yeah. Anyway. This is Ariel Pink, Feels Like Heaven. This is off the album. Ariel Pink, dedicated to Bobby Jamison.
Yeah, out tomorrow, worldwide.
Yeah, that's a cool sound to start off with.
Yeah.
This isn't that lo-fi. It's quite pretty, isn't it? And I was just saying off air then, isn't it funny? We've arrived at an era now where Americans it's okay for them to sound like Morrissey.
That's right. You see that Manchester has taken nearly 25 years to float across the pond. And
I know they'd like to have. We were talking about James Murphy earlier on about how the derivativeness of LCD sound system, all the good bits there, and how. But this is not necessarily American sounding, is it?
No,
would it be considered
not
indie rock?
I do not know. I mean, it to me, it reflects what he's saying about Bobby Jamison, and that, you know, like I'd said, that Bobby Jamison had like made a go of it in England as well as Los Angeles, and we have here this transatlantic.
I'm going to put this to you, Troy.
Yes.
In 10 years' time, will there be an album by somebody else called Dedicated to Ariel Pink? Sort of feels a little bit like that, doesn't it?
There's a possibility.
Yeah, reflecting his own disappointments in the industry and the scene. Album 11, you say?
Album number 11,
right,
from Ariel Pink.
I'm just saying.
What was that last one called? Pom Pom. That was almost broken through, didn't it?
Pom-pom. I don't know. I once got shit on by a toy called Pom Pom Panda.
Like, literally.
Had pink poos.
All right.
It's a toy. It's not real. But
it was an actual poo then.
I woke up in the morning, woke up to it, with my little game. Ha, ha, ha. Anyhow, pressing on now. So that's available on vinyl at Southbound Records now. Second album you bought is Sly and the Revolutionaries.
Right. Black Ash Dub. This is an amazing record from 1980.
Look how reggae that album is.
Okay.
Boy,
wait, what's that there?
That's a cannabis leaf, I think. Well, it's a representation of a cannabis leaf or the Mitsubishi sign, but with two extra bits.
Could be that. Now, before I hand this to you, because once I hand this to you, this is just going to go somewhere, a whole other place.
Okay, standing by.
First thing you have to know is that the Revolutionaries, in this instance, have the great Ansel Collins on organ. Of course, Mr. Robbie Shakespeare on bass.
From Slide, Robbie!
Yeah. Glady Anderson on piano. We've got Deadly Headley and Bobby Ellis on horns. It's all great. This is produced by Jar Thomas, mixed Deadly at King Deadly. Tubby's, by Prince Jammy, and also mixed by Scientist. Now I'm going to hand this to you, and this is going to go somewhere else. Okay, have a look at the track listing there, Mike.
Strictly Rubber Dub in the pub.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Explosion. Coming to the nation with version.
This song's called Marijuana, track one on the album, followed up by songs called Herb, Collie, Lamb's Bread, Rizzler, side two, LSD, Acapulco Gold, Cocaine, Black Ash, and then finishing up with a nice glass of white rum. Oh, mixed at King Tubby's.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just essence of. Listen to. Oh, that trumpet's reggae. Look. When did this come out? When did this album come out?
1980, originally.
Yep. Yep.
And when I first heard this tune sometime in the 1980s, I thought that it was a dub of Love in Vain by The Ruts. But I was wrong. The Ruts had
wrong,
just...
Wrong, Troy, wrong!
I was completely wrong. The Ruts had ripped it off the Heptones. This is...
Exactly.
Heptones, what's it called? Good, Pretty Looks. From 1970.
So once you've established that, you're able to move on to see if you like the music or not.
Oh no, I knew I liked it anyway.
But aha! Right, good. Yeah.
This is the point in dub music where it had become completely its own thing. It wasn't just hidden away on the B-sides of singles anymore. It wasn't just simply the flip of something. Sly Dunbar's Sly and Robbie's production company, Taxi Ride, could like do entire albums like this that were unrelated to any single releases, and boom,
yeah,
people were into it.
Yeah,
people
fair
still
enough
are.
Too. So this is a reissue, obviously on vinyl.
Well, this is one of the famous Trojan Orange reissues.
So I would imagine this would have been a must-have. This almost sounds like essential in
back
a collection.
In the day,
even nowadays, you know, people.
I'd agree. It's
I think what I'm saying, I think if you're listening to this now and you don't have this in your collection, how remiss of you. You need to probably get onto that, and you guys can help at the record store.
That's right. We have this on the shelf now. And
phew, has it got the orange vinyl?
This is orange vinyl.
Oh, phew.
Oh, look, this one here is number 61 of 750.
Oh, phew. Any reason they've done 750? Sounds like an odd number.
I don't really
some
know.
Some marijuana connection or something.
Maybe. I don't know.
I say that because the song's called Marijuana, just to remind people. Yeah.
That's right. But what I think...
Controlled class C substance.
What is lamb's bread, and what has that got to do with
anything?
I just
don't even want to know, Troy. It's this world's messy enough as it is without finding out about another drug.
Yeah, you're probably right. But as you can hear, like regardless of what one might think of dub as a sound and a style, you can hear that it's completely accessible and kind of fun.
It's nice. Because it makes sense if I say it's a nice clean production.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and
yes.
I always thought Tackhead did some of the stuff. It's really clean, effective use of the things.
I found Tackhead a little on the trebly side sometimes.
Yes. You know, but that's the era.
Yeah, you're right.
It's the same era that people had shoulder pads.
Yeah, I guess you're
and,
right.
And the face of the 80s, that sort of thing, you know.
Who was the face of the 80s?
Oh, wasn't it someone, Lana Kilcroft or someone? Was it? Equally as bland, I don't know.
She wasn't a fan of yours, was she, that lady?
You know what, I don't care about that. Let's move on to the third piece of tempting vinyl. Look at that. Oh, now. Shiver me timbers, Troy.
So, people have been talking...
Don't be a good neighbour.
So,
what's the other thing he says all the time? Fuck. Troy?
I think... I didn't say anything, did I? That was, that was Johnny.
Caitlin, that was Troy.
It was Johnny.
Can you write down Troy said fuck on the
radio? Sorry.
Troy.
This is the soundtrack to the 1986 David Lynch movie Blue Velvet.
That's a life changer, that movie.
It's a life changing movie, and also it's really important in that it introduces the working partnership of David Lynch and the great composer Angelo Badalamenti.
Amazing, eh?
And so, and let me tell you how this started. And the song we're going to hear is kind of completely tied into how it started. Now, for Blue Velvet, David Lynch had become enamored with This Mortal Coil and their cover of Tim Buckley's Song to the Siren. And he thought, oh, I can just see this in my movie. This is going to work for my movie. This is so great. And going to 4AD and asking for the rights to use it, Ivo at 4AD said, no, you're not going to use it, no. And Lynch couldn't get past thinking about it, so he thought, I've got an idea.
I can imagine David Lynch, once he got something like that in his head, like now he'd been in a position where everyone would just jump to it.
You're
course,
right.
But yeah. of course. But in those days, maybe you got. I don't know what he even speaks like in real life, but I imagine him always being like that character in Twin Peaks.
Gordon, yeah. Yeah, so
it's very good to see you again, old friend.
So he would have gone to Ivo and asked, and Ivo would have gone, who's this David Lynch? And someone would have said, oh, a razor head. And he would have like,
everything is fine.
So David went to Angelo Badalamenti and said, you know, I really want this song. I can't have it. Why don't we write a song which is almost exactly the same as it?
Good ploy, Lynchy.
Not a sound alike, but something which gives the same vibe and same spirit, and it worked. And the woman they got in to sing the song was...
Let me guess, someone ethereal and quite beautiful and mysterious?
Yes, and guess which one it was.
Wasn't Kerry Takanawa.
No, it was... Wasn't you, was it?
No, I'm not a woman.
It was Julie Cruise, the first time they ever worked together.
Beautiful.
That song, Mysteries of Love, became sort of the de facto theme of Blue Velvet. There's two other versions of it on the soundtrack by the City of Prague Film Orchestra, but this one here.
Oh,
is
I
the,
love the City of Prague Film Orchestra. My favourite film orchestra.
What in the hell? Look at this.
Well, has this been on vinyl before? Must have at some stage.
In 1986 only.
Wow. One of Entertainment Weekly's 100 best soundtracks of all time.
I'd probably agree.
It says on the sticker on the front there.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
On the back cover, there's a picture of Kyle MacLachlan. Looks like a little girl. He's so young. Look at that.
I know.
Dennis Hopper on the nitrous in this one. Hard out.
And you know the horrifying scene in this movie where Isabella Rossellini is staggering up the road naked and is found by Jeffrey. Remember this?
Yes, I do, yes.
You know that was inspired by something that Lynch happened to Lynch in the early 1950s as a kid. It was never explained either why this deranged naked woman was staggering up the road, and it was Lynch rather than Jeffrey that found her.
True. You know what, I would like to do an audit actually on David Lynch's early life. Just like to do a complete run through, just have a double check on things and make sure, just see what exactly he has experienced, because I would,
I say.
But you know what, whatever it was,
good to see you again, old friend.
What do you think this movie's about, Blue Velvet? I think it's about, it can be boiled down to one sentence, and it's a line by Frank in the film. I think this movie...
Oh, really? Hold on. Hold the phone. Frank!
Frank?
Wheel in the tank, Frank.
Yeah. I think the entire movie is about the line where Frank says to Jeffrey, Kyle MacLachlan's character,
we're the same, you and me.
Yeah.
Hard out. Exactly. Yes. Astute observation, Troy. Don't make me go over the internet and just see whether you plagiarise that from someone else's opinion.
I didn't.
To your own opinion? Well then, well done. Well done indeed.
No one has ever agreed with me on it, but okay.
Oh, I agree with you. I think you're right. There's not a lot of... It's hard to come to conclusions about David Lynch's stuff.
It is.
It's hard to go, you know what I definitively decided about that? This. Without immediately thinking you're completely wrong and on the wrong track.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is Mysteries of Love by Angelo Badalamenti, and it's on vinyl for the first time since 1986.
Yeah, and we've got one or two copies on limited edition blue-black split vinyl. Just a couple of those, beauty. But otherwise black vinyl.
What's blue-black split vinyl look like? Is that like blue on one side, black on the other? Yeah. That's quite hard to do.
Yeah.
No, I think, do you mean on the flip side, eh? Black on one side, blue on the other, or just split down the middle?
Half like, and half.
Oh, like a pizza. Okay.
Pretty much like that.
It's not as hard to do.
Don't forget the fantastic Roy Orbison tune, In Dreams.
I was going to play that at the end of the show, I think. I think I'll play some of the Big O before the end of the big show. Thank you, Troy. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Those are all available at Southbound Records, which handily is in Auckland.
That's right. It's in Simon Street, number 132, beside T. White's Bikes. Isn't it, Johnny? I saw you in there.
Ah, Johnny, eh? You dirty bugger. Right, exactly. Keep an eye out. You see all sorts of beefing DJs around places like that.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White's Bikes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.